Is coming, and the day of the Lord means he's not bound anymore by Adam's lease. We're almost to the end of Adam's lease, but he can move unhindered legally because he's at the end of Adam's lease time. He's going to show himself out in undeniable ways, in blessings and in judgments. One of the judgments that's coming, and I believe it could be this very year, and that is the Ezekiel war, the war in Ezekiel 38 and 39. Now, let's turn in our Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 1. I'm reading out of the Hebrew translation, but it's pretty near King James. 1 through 3, we'll begin. Now, isn't it amazing that all those years ago, when Ezekiel is with the captivity in Babylon, God showed him things that are going to be happening maybe next week or whenever. And the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Son of man, the way you say that in Hebrew is Ben-Adam. And he always addressed Ezekiel as Ben-Adam, son of man. Set thy face toward Gog of the land of Magog and the chief prince of Meshach, Tubal, and prophesy against him. Now I believe that Gog is an evil spirit. It's Satan himself. He's going to show up again at the end of the 1,000 years in another Gog-Magog war. God is not against the peoples. He's against this evil spirit that's been in the heavenlies, Satan, having to do with nations. Son of man, set thy face toward Gog of the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. Now, if you put into English how it is in the Rosh in Hebrew is head. So if you said this in Hebrew, and it's Prince Rosh Meshach. There are princedoms over nations, and we know that. We know that from the book of Daniel, where we have the prince of Persia and the prince of Grecia. And I don't have time to talk about it. I do have a teaching what God showed me about the seat of Satan, how it was in Jesus' time over a city named Pergamum. But it changes. He changes. He's not in hell. He's going to hell. Satan's going to hell, Isaiah. But he moves about his headquarters over certain cities in the earth. In this teaching that I have called the Seat of Satan, the Lord showed me how he moved it over different places. He moved it over Berlin. He moved it over different places, and then he rules down through there. And this one, according to, this is from the Art Scrolls. This is their note on Ezekiel 38. The various traditions concerning the identity of Magog, who in Genesis 10:2 is listed among the sons of Noah, Japheth, tend to place the land of Magog in what today is Russia. Thus, land of Magog is located in a region aptly described as the farthest north. If you go straight up from Jerusalem, you will be into Russia and Meshach. He's called the prince leader, Rosh of Meshach. There are cities now in Moscow and Tobolsk, which identify with these titles. Verse 4, And I will turn thee about and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed most gorgeously, and then it goes on. Verse 5, I'll comment on this. I will turn you about. What this great military company does will be the result of what God has placed in their minds to do, though they will not recognize it. And so we see operating as the head and controller of it, Satan, down through Moscow, there are allies. The first ally mentioned is Persia, which is Iran. Through the years, it has not been kosher, you might say, for the Russians especially the white part, white Russians, not the white Russians back in the day, but the Russians to want to join with the Persians. That is something relatively new. And it began in 1975, particularly with them helping the Bushehr nuclear plant be built. So this coalition between Russia and Persia is not a thing that would have been in past days. It's relatively new. But we all know that right now they are allies. And we all know they are in place. The reason why I think this war is on the horizon, very near horizon, is these players are all in place, and they cannot remain in place forever. So he says, he mentions others, Gomer, verse 6, that's harder to recognize. And as I've traced it out, they say it's difficult to identify this with certainty. But Gomer in the 10th chapter, where it lists the nations, he had a grandson named Ashkenaz, and the Jews that come from Europe are called Ashkenazis. So it has to do something with Europe, probably Eastern Europe countries. Then it names Togarma, and I am of the opinion that Togarma is Turkey. Some people believe differently. That's what you get to do. You get to believe differently if you want to. Bless the Lord. But I think that it is from the Wikipedia, Togarma, it gives us in Genesis 10, represents the peoples known to the ancient Hebrews. Togarma is among the descendants of Japheth and is thought to represent some people located in Anatolia. Anatolia in geography, known as Asia Minor, Asian Turkey, Anatolian Peninsula, or Anatolian Plateau, denotes the westernmost protrusion of Asia, which makes up the majority of the Republic of Turkey. So the Armenian genocide, I looked on that site, and they say they were the Armenians from Anatolia, and you know that it was the Turks who did that terrible massacre of them. So we see Turkey, and the interesting thing about Turkey is that there was a man named Ataturk, and when Ataturk came with Turkey and brought it into the being we've mostly known, he wanted to move it from its Islamic harsh roots, and he wanted to make it more friendly with the West and do business with the West, and he had that. And we've known that for some years, but just recently a man named Erdogan is there and other activities have come and they have moved Turkey out from the West and onto the more hardline view that it will definitely have that says it could definitely be one of these allies. Verse 8, King James says, after many years, Hebrews says, from many years, thou shalt be mustered for service in the latter years. Thou shalt come against the land that is brought back from the sword, that is gathered out of many peoples against the mountains of Israel, which have been a continual waste, but is brought forth out of the peoples, and they dwell safely, all of them. Now, this literal translation, from many years, it means from ancient times. You are to be recalled. And this is one of the Art Scrolls comments. In the Nephile passive, it usually means that one is recalled with the purpose of subjecting him to his predestined fate, good or bad. Rashi sees the wars as a time of reckoning for all the evils which all the nations had perpetrated against Israel over the centuries. He renders, you are to be recalled, that is, punished for sins which were committed long ago. Another interpretation is God's consideration is going back into antiquity. We're seeing the judgment of the nations, and we shall see more. I have a little mini book back there called The Judgment of the Nations. The only criteria for the judgment of nations as nations is how they treated Israel. That's the only one. If they blessed Israel, they brought blessings upon themselves. And it says, those who bless you, really the Hebrew says, will bring blessings on themselves. And those who curse you will bring cursings on themselves. I can't say some things, I think, but you're going to see some of it. You're going to even see crossfires among nations. And both nations have a bad record with how they treated the Jews. God has purpose in this, and I want you to turn with me to Ezekiel 38. You're already there. And I want to look at verse 16. And this is to show you that what I'm saying is God's going to show himself out. He's going to show out. The purpose of the Ezekiel 38 war is for God to show himself to the nations. I believe it's going to be a great tool to the Islamic states. And here we see in verse 16, chapter 38, "And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel." They're his people. "It shall be as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days. And I will bring you against my land." That, the word means in order that. "The nations," and there's no word in Hebrew for heathen. It's all the nations, the Jews, the nations, and the church, three groups of people. "That the nations may know me when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes." We're going to see this. We're going to know that it's God, and the nations are going to know it. If you go then over to verse 19, this is a supernatural thing that's going to happen when they get down there. "In my jealousy and the fire of my wrath, I have spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea, the fowls of the heaven, the beasts of the field, all creeping things that creep upon the earth, and all the men that are upon the earth shall shake at my presence. And the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother." That's crossfire. "And I will plead against him with pestilence, with blood. I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him, an overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone." Now here's the point. "Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am Jehovah." I remember the Gulf War I, and we were just firing those rockets down in windows and firing those missiles, and everything was going our way. And it is the way of some of the Islamic peoples, states, to put their weapons caches in schools, in hospitals, in apartment houses. And there was a woman with seven children in her apartment. She had in a big apartment house, and there were weapons there. And she saw what was happening, and she just said, "I cry out to the God of the Americans." It hit her place, and hers was the only apartment left standing. Two-thirds of these scriptures are prophecy. Most of them have been fulfilled. But we're going to do what Peter says. He says, pay attention to the prophets, because they're like a light shining in a dark place.
3BI, Billy Brim Bible Institute. You can earn your degree with an emphasis in Bible prophecy from one of the leading Bible prophecy teachers of our time. For more information, visit billybrim.org/3BI.
Thank you for joining us today for the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. You can connect with us on all social media at Dr. Billy Brim, snail mail, Post Office Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615, or billybrim.org, 1-800-972-3447. Again, shalom, shalom.